I awaken. I don't know it at the moment, but this day marks my fourth straight year of existing in the dogscape. I push myself up from the carpet of writhing, twitching dog flesh beneath me and rise to my feet, stretching in the morning sun. It took me a while to learn to balance on the layer of solid dogs that now blankets every inch of solid ground, but nowadays I can walk and run as easily and as fast as I could on soil or concrete. Perhaps faster. This was a city once, I think. Though, which one I can't remember. I only owe my guess to the massive pillars of dogs jutting into the sky, perhaps ancient buildings now, completely filled and overgrown by canine biomatter. I climbed one once, sinking my fingers and toes deep into the dog wall to gain purchase, and after hours and hours of climbing, I was rewarded with an incredible vista, fur and eyes, panting tongues and wagging tails, hugging the contours of the once barren land and stretching in a single amorbic mass farther than the eye can see. No, I don't do that, though. Now I merely go about my day. I hike the gardens, where the dog plants sprout up in bizarre shapes from the floor of the dogscape, and reach up to pluck the fetal puppy fruits right off the wagging, energetic branches. I bite into the succulent flesh, the juices dribbling down my chin and dripping down to be reabsorbed by the ground flesh, and revel in the savory taste. I'm thirsty, so I range until I find one of the mother mounds. Then I suckle at the teat patch until I've had my fill of milk. Sometimes I see other humans around me, as well adapted to the dog flesh as I am, but I barely acknowledge them. I say nothing. What, after all, is there to say? The world is different now. What meaning will our old words have? Free-ranging dogs are becoming rarer and rarer to see now, and those I do see, just as lost, just as passive as I am. They too graze on the dog plants, step carefully over the undulating, bleeding dog floor, dimly acknowledge myself and one another. In the distant sky and on the far horizon, I sometimes see massive forms sailing or crawling or undulate. And I wonder if this new world, normal, singular, ambulatory dogs have become as obsolete as I am. I dug down once, down beneath the dogs, beneath the hair and ears and the barking. It was hard and took a lot of planning. I had to destroy one of the dog trees with my hands, rip up the twisted, yards-long communal spines that severed them as branches and lashed them together with tendons and skin, but soon I had tools, pitchforks, spears, shovels. I picked a spot where the dog floor seemed shallower, and I set to work. The blood started spurting where my spear first broke the surface, didn't stop for hours and hours and hours. It was drenched in gore and viscera, covered in flecks of bone and meat and brain. But I learned to ignore the sickening, squelching sounds, ward off the smell and just keep going deeper and deeper, spreading and levering out dogs, stranger and stranger size and build, dogs with two heads, dogs with human heads, dogs with writhing tentacles where their back legs should be. Eventually, I came to an end of the dogs. Or perhaps the beginning of whatever lies beyond dogs. An expanse of multicolored patchwork fur that extended as far as I could dig in any direction. I could pierce it with great difficulty, but it barely bled. And try as I might, I could only barely peel the skin away. revealing a layer of striated grayish muscle beneath. It started to tremble as I watched it, shaking the very dog matter around me, and I realized that the dogscape was beginning to regenerate itself. It closed in over me, sealed me in, so I fled, climbing back into the light. The stream trickled warmly past the black leathery edges of the puppy mouth stream. The saliva waters chummed as they flowed from the bed of the stream, lined with ever-lapping tongues of eager, greeting puppies. To feel a rock on the shore is to find sharp milk teeth of weaned dogs, cast to the tufts of mangled weeds growing into spits and bank. The head of the stream is split by a single mound of golden fur, like an upholstered boulder set with a large golden eye that swerves to see passing visitors. The waters will bubble and froth should the eye see you, the tongues lapping nervous, loving greetings with gurgling yips. The dogscape. That's what we call it. Us humans that banded together, I mean. We sit around campfires and cook the whelps that we collect from the dog trees. The only flammable matter that we have is the acrid fur that grows everywhere. It offends all senses, but soon the meal's prepared. The only food source is the dog trees and the mother mounds. Some foolish enough dig for meat. Though the reward is great, many don't come back, for dog flesh regrows around them, trapping them inside the moist ground. Primitive tools are forged from bone and leather, such as shovels and knives and clothes. I've lived here for as long as I can remember. There are faint shimmers of the time before the dog flesh. What use is there dwelling on the past when it can't fill our stomachs in the present? I am our tribe's scribe. My name is Doc. I used to have a real name, but it escapes my memory. I record all of our findings and knowledge on my leather pages, using dog blood as ink. There were times. There were more of us. The tribe started with as many as 60 people. Now our numbers are as few as 20. Our leader is Keith. He instructs us to find food, build shelter, bring fire. He abuses his power, taking 5 wives, eating more than his share of the food, but those who speak against him meet death in the night. It's hellish. There's no other choice without guidance. We'll die out here. So we must remain under his leadership. It's been 2 days since my last writing. I'm lucky that Keith can't read, for if he had seen my statement about him, I'd be dead. Yesterday, one of our tribesmen caught was killed by accidentally stepping into one of the open dog mouths. His screams of pain as it chewed forced me to crush his skull with a shovel, killing him instantly. The bastard Keith claimed Kot's food ration as his own. I can sense the others are beginning to tire of Keith's position of power as well. Nobody spoke a word at that night's feast. I'll not sleep well tonight. Hearing Kot's screams, I'll be hearing them again in my nightmares. I fear for my life. Keith. Feck was killed in front of us. By Keith today. He refused to continue digging for meat, so the monster beat him to death with his bare hands as a sign that he would not tolerate a refusal to work. I can't stand for this much longer. Feck was not even an adult. He could not have been more than 17 human years. This brings our numbers down to 18.
There's Keef, his five wives, me, and the remaining 11 diggers and gatherers. The others whisper to me in secret that I should be the leader instead, and I guess they think that I have all the answers because I am the scribe. Only time will tell. I was awoken at the crack of dawn by one of the diggers. Gar, specifically. He told me that tonight would be the night. The others had a plan. They want me to announce that I'm the new leader during the feast. When he is distracted with rage, they intend to kill him from behind. I tell Gar I accept his plan and will assist them tonight. What have I gotten myself into? Damn them all. I told Keef I planned to replace him. He arose, filled with rage. I waited for the blow to strike him. It never hit Keef. Instead, it hit me. Gar was Keef's spy all along. They dragged me far away from the gardens and tied me to a barren dog tree. He said that a quick death would not befit me, and I will waste away under the deathly sun. I can just barely reach my journal from here. I suppose this is the end of me. When the sun was highest in the sky, the heat became unbearable. I saw figures on the horizon. They were not human. They were the hounds that come to eat what the humans leave behind. I thought they were going to eat me. But instead, they went for the blood-soaked meat ropes that held me in place. I was free. I knelt down to the hounds. I looked deep into their eyes. I told them I know where they could fill their bellies to the brim. It barked once. In what I assumed to be confirmation, I stood up, and we set off to feast. When we reached the settlement, it was amidst their feast. I approached death in my gaze. Keef was shocked and angry. The diggers and gatherers were quick to his defense. I guess he bribed them. I whistled, and the hounds slinked through the fur to my side. We struck like a lightning bolt. My fist smashed into Keef's face just as my hounds pounced upon his closest guards. Though I was physically weak, I was quite fast. I stole a shovel and quickly buried it into Keef's bloat while he was disoriented. Well, the smell was sickening, as I expected from a man like him. The hounds made quick work of the rest. I helped, of course. None were spared. I made sure that I had my vengeance upon Gar. The hounds were quite full by the end. I took my time and I buried each corpse. What was left of them? I leave this book upon their graves in the hopes that someone who can understand it finds it. If you do, take heed of these words. The dogscape knows all, and is strict but fair. She provides justice where justice is due. I had a dog right after the dogscape happened. His name was Carl. He always followed me around when I was almost dead from starving. He got me dog foods. When I was dying of thirst, he held milk in his mouth and gave it to me. One day, his foot got stuck in a mouth and I couldn't get him out. So I watched. I watched while it swallowed him. A few years later, when I got back, Carl was right there. But he was stretched out. I went to pet him, except it wasn't him. And he bit me and he wouldn't let go. Now I wonder if people can be part of the dogscape too. I miss Carl. All is one in the new truth. The dog mother is vast beyond imagination and requires many to be kept comfortable and clean. we chosen do not go unrewarded. However, in her vast wisdom, the matriarch gives all we need. We sup from her vast teat, a hearty meal unlike any other. It invigorates and nourishes us, Canastonians, and gives us more than we can could ever wish. The time soon approaches to find new workers. The metamorphosis is upon many of us, and soon we will join the glory of the Dog Mount. We are so different from the others as they shuffle about down amongst the fertile groves. Many of us have a thick coat already, and old Lawrence has already begun to walk on all fours. Soon we will shed our mortal selves and be part of the Dog Mother. Our mother.
I think we know the war had been lost the day the general committed suicide. The masses of flesh and fur just spread like waves across the cities. We found out that whatever it was, it was drinking the oceans and eating anything it came across. Airstrikes, tanks, bombs. It only slowed it down. We were living on borrowed time. We were unstoppable. I don't think it was until later that we noticed all the dogs were gone. And then at night, the howling. It was just too much.
The former soldier's face streamed with involuntary tears as he remembered the events. He sat there, wallowing in his own emotions, telling his story to a skeleton he found.
My unit. Completely wiped out. Saw those tentacles, those mouths. They tore them to shreds. I ran away. And even when they called for help, it was, "It's all your fault."
Dog trees shifted slightly. Many eyes growing around directed their gaze towards the psychotic man.
You ruined everything. You killed my friends, my family, goddamn everyone.
He ran and stabbed one of the eyes with a bone knife. A howling noise emitted and nearby. The dog tree swatted him several yards. He broke a few ribs when he hit the ground. He coughed a bit of blood, but got back up and charged again. This time he ran towards one of the open mouths around and kicked several of its teeth. It bit his foot in response, costing him a toe or two. He was full of adrenaline. He was incapable of registering any kind of pain. He beat and tore and bit at the flesh with his bare hands until he was knee-deep in blood and gore. One of the tubes he tore spilled some sort of digestive fluid all over him. It burned. But he had to go on. He dug and he dug with his bare hands until the ground started to close above him, until he found them, the heart and brain. He laughed at his fortune of finding both of them so close to each other. He jammed his hands deep into the gray matter, disturbing the contents and slowly losing oxygen in his tunnel of meat. He gasped and clawed at the heart, tearing it out of place, and he collapsed and blacked out. He awoke to many tentacles, burying themselves in his body. One hit his spinal cord and fused with his brainstem. A flood of thought hit him all at once, as he suddenly became one with the dogscape. More tentacles connected themselves to his vital organs as he became assimilated. He saw through every eye in the land. He felt every single nerve on the planet. The healing factor continued tearing him apart, but adding new pathways and connections. It wasn't long until he was entirely consumed. His memories faded away as his brain was reorganized into replacing the one he had destroyed. It's been 3 years and 2 weeks now since I met another human being. I know because I've cut a small notch in my left leg for every day. One in my left arm for every week, and one in my right arm for every year. Admittedly, not the most effective way of keeping track of time. When I started, I figured I'd be dead or this would be over before it really mattered. Like I said, I haven't met any other person for a while. But I figured I'd write this anyway, just in case. As a warning to others that might be out there. I ran into something terrible today. Well, the whole dogscape is terrible. But I mean more terrible, okay? I think even among the dogscape, it's some sort of crazy abomination, since the feral dogs and the ground mouths didn't seem too fond of it either. And that screaming isn't something that I ever hope to hear again, but that's not the beginning. Okay, I'm sorry about this. The blood I'm using doesn't really come off the paper, and I can't waste any by throwing it away and not even thinking about talking to other people for years has made me... It made me somewhat bad at thinking in a straight line, but I'll try, okay? Let me start over at the beginning. The day started normally. It was my weekly gathering day. So I left my tent. By the way, I left the tent at the foot of the pillar of dogs in the direction of the setting sun, if you want it. But you probably won't, because the skin has probably gone bad by now. I had went to collect the dog fruits that I would need for the week, and to fill a bag or two with milk. But when I got to the place where there should have been teats, there was just this bloody mess where someone had dug deep into the flesh of the dogscape. I didn't really think much of it at first, just that we need to go looking for a new source of milk. And I saw it. I thought it was another person at first. If I had stopped to really look first, I wouldn't have had any problems and I wouldn't have been writing this right now, I guess. I started shouting to get its attention. I did get its attention because it turned to me, and then I realized that I had made a huge mistake. Thinking back, the really long arms and the twisty body probably should have been my first clue. I didn't really see that anything was wrong until it turned towards me and I saw what I thought was a head, just a featureless lump of flesh. Its arms unfolded towards me, each arm ending in two canine legs, and the human face on its chest opened its mouth and started screaming. I figured it was bad news then. I made a mad dash for the nearest pillar of dogs. It kept running after me. It was much faster. Somehow I managed to make it, and I started scrambling to climb out of its reach. I didn't get very far before there was a sharp pain in my leg, and I looked down and I saw that it had bitten me with one of its many canine mouths along with that arm thing. I screamed as it pulled me down, but that didn't do much, and I probably would have died right then and there if it weren't for what happened next. Out of nowhere, a mouth that I didn't even see when I started climbing the dog pillar, it bit down on it. And then one in the ground, and it started chewing at it. And that didn't seem to hurt it, but it let go at the same time. I ran away as fast as I could, but I could hear that screaming long after that I was out of sight. I didn't sleep that night. Just before nightfall, I had to make sure the dogscape had killed it. And I went to that pillar. But I saw no trace of it. The notebook I tore this page from was there. I took that. So now here I am. I'm not going to stay around here any longer after I finish this. But finding the notebook made me think maybe there's other people. And if so, maybe I should warn them about things like this. So if you're reading this, good luck. Oh. Also, I'm moving in the direction of the rising sun. So if you can read this, you're probably another person. So if you go in that direction, maybe we can meet up. Be a little better off than we were.